This might be just a little bit different this evening. We're going to deal with a subject that shouldn't be that big of a deal to us, but sometimes it is. 2 Timothy 3:1 says that in the last days there's going to come perilous times, and we can see that beginning to come to fruition. And turn to Luke 21. We'll just look at this scripture for a second. Luke 21, verses 25 and 26. It says, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. We've had a lot of that in the last couple of weeks. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And these are just a couple of scriptures that remind us of the time that we're living in. Just stuff's happening. Things are coming to a culmination in God's timetable, and we're beginning to see it. We're seeing the powers in the heavens being shaken. We're seeing God's word come to pass. As those powers in heaven are shaken, they fall to the earth and create perilous times, because they get knocked out of their place, and it creates all kinds of difficulties and troubles. I remind you again something that Woody said when he was here a few weeks ago, that it's a time for war. It's been a time for war for a long, long time. Really, since the fall in the garden, it's been a time for war. But it's even more so a time for war. And what I want to talk to you tonight a little bit is just about some things of how we cannot forget that we have an enemy who is a personality, that there is an enemy that is a personality. I don't want to have to look up all the scriptures, but let's go to 2 Corinthians. I have a lot of scriptures just to kind of bounce off this evening. I don't want to just dig into every one. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are not seen are eternal. Now, we usually apply that to the things of God and the things of faith and the Word of God. But I want to use this principle tonight of not looking at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Because there's stuff in the unseen realm that affects what's going on in the seen realm. And a lot of times we just want to deal with the seen. And we want to change the seen when it don't look good. But there's things in the unseen realm that need to be dealt with. And if you'll flip over to chapter 10 there in 2 Corinthians, just familiar scriptures, it tells us that though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. Or we could even say in the natural. Even though we're living in this natural world, our war is not according to natural things. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We don't have carnal weapons. They're spiritual weapons, and they're powerful weapons from God to pull down strongholds, to pull down the places that the enemy has established. And that enemy is in that unseen realm. And tonight I want to just begin to kind of look at some things, because there's a lot of stuff that we deal with from the Word of God, and there, you know, and promises that we have in the Word that can change things. But there are times when there are things in the natural that just don't seem to respond as quick as we'd like when we apply the Word. And many times that's because it's that unseen realm that there's something going on there that we're not aware of. And tonight is more just of some enlightenment as to how the enemy works and how he's operating in the unseen, and we're kind of just dealing with the seen, and we can miss him. And it's not because we're stupid or dumb. He's slick. And we have years and years of training about how to deal with the things that we see, and we just can easily forget that sometimes there's something behind what we see. Not always, but sometimes. And as the days move on, and as the heavens are shaken more and more, and things become stirred up, the real war is going to be more obvious. As the kingdom of God begins to manifest more, the good promises of God and the things that we are experiencing are going to be pulled out of the unseen realm of the Spirit of God and brought into manifestation in the natural, that is the kingdom of God. We're going to see God's things. But as that separation comes, and in the kingdom of God, God's supernatural things are going on, there's a lot of stuff that's supernatural that's going on out in the realm outside the kingdom of God, in the darknesses. And as things get separated, there's going to be more and more obvious distinctions between godly things and ungodly things. And we've got to be aware and prepared. Now, in Mark, let's go to Mark 16. Mark 16, a familiar group of scriptures for us. But verse 17 in particular, Jesus said this. It says, "These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons." Now we're just going to stop there, because we know it goes on. They speak with new tongues and these other stuff. But the very first thing he says about us who believe is that we will cast out demons in his name. And as things begin to come into culmination in these end times, we are clashing in a major way with demon powers. Many of them have been hidden for a long time. They work in the unseen realm, but they've been disguised. There have been layers over them. But I'll tell you, God's pulling the ropes off of things. And we're going to begin to see more and more the activity of demons. And sometimes we just sort of like, ew. We don't want to mess with them. But Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. So then I guess Jesus expects that we should be casting out demons. Well, then we need to know where they are and what to do. Well, tonight I want to just deal kind of more in beginning to discover where they might be, because it's another whole sermon to go into all the things about, you know, the authority that we have in the name of Jesus and those kind of things. But a lot of times we treat as natural things that are really demons. And I don't want this to be, oh, she's looking for demons and doorknobs. You know, that's always one of the big phrases that, well, we're not looking for demons and doorknobs, but I'll tell you, there could be a time when you might find a situation where there's a demon sitting on a doorknob somewhere that's creating trouble in a room, that's creating a problem. And we're not going and looking in goofy places for them, but we need to know that they're out there, and we've got to be aware of them because they're in disguise. One of the greatest places that they disguise themselves is in medical stuff. And in this day and age, there are just so many things that people are dealing with. I mean, we're just bombarded on TV all the time with all the stuff, and take this pill for that and this pill for that, and we have 14 different pills that could treat this, so go through all of them and see if they work. And all this, well, part of why there's such a problem is because we're trying to treat just natural stuff, and there's demons behind some of those things. Now, if you cut your finger, it's not a demon that because you have a cut on your finger. And it's going to heal because God has designed our bodies to heal, and we have a right to be healed by the blood and the stripes of Jesus. So not everything that happens to us physically or not every sickness is necessarily demonic. But, oh, they can hide in things. Now, these are just some examples of where demons can hide and be disguised, and it's just stuff that's so prominent today. Chronic illness, where there's just sickness all the time. You get rid of one thing and then you're sick with something else. Then you get that rid of and then you're sick with something where it's just constantly, where people are never able to get well. There's just always something wrong. That probably, I would say 99% of the time, there's a devil involved that needs to be dealt with. I believe autism is a demon. You know, and in the medical world, they find the things that don't match up in the chromosomes and the cells and the genes and all this stuff. And they say, well, this is the reason why. It's my personal belief. Those things might be that way, but it's because of what the demon has done to the body is why those things show up. It's not the fact that, well, this thing just went wrong, so that's what happened. It's the evidence that there was activity there. But I believe autism is a awful demon-inspired thing. I believe Down syndrome is a demon thing. And we've just pushed that into a box. It's just one of those things that can go wrong. It's just one of those chromosomal things. But personally, I believe because of the way it affects people, and they all look the same, any Down syndrome person in the world, it doesn't matter what color they are, what nationality they are, whether they're boy, girl, old, young, whatever, they all look the same. I don't have a scripture to prove that, but frankly, I believe that's because there's a particular kind of devil that does that work. That's just my opinion. And if you know people with these situations, or if this affects you, this is not a message of condemnation. This is not a message of finding out, well, you got a demon. You know, it is not that at all. But we've got to be aware, because Jesus told us the first thing on the list that we have to do is we've got to cast out demons. Another one this is my personal belief that I believe is demonically inspired, is Alzheimer's disease. They want to chalk that up to all kinds of stuff and all these, and they're trying to do all these things that can maybe prevent it. Well, there might be some things that make it a little harder for that to get a grip on people, but I believe that's just devils stealing people's minds. And you don't have to lose your mind because you don't have to get senile because you get old. You just don't have to. You do not have to. And I believe that's just a demon-inspired thing. And deep depression. Oh, my goodness, there's just so much depression going on. And it's so sad because now little children are depressed, you know, and we got to put them on depression medicine. Depression is demons. It is stuff that gets a hold of people. It might not start out that way, but if it is not handled properly, it can make a place for them to become involved, and it becomes more of a permanent problem. Obsessive compulsive disorder. Anything that they call disorder, practically, I think could be a demonic disorder there. But those kind of things, when people are dealing with that, they can't help themselves. They just have to keep doing this thing. They have to keep picking at something, or they have to keep washing their hands, or they have to keep turning around and sitting down. I mean, just whatever it is, it's all kinds of goofy things, strange behavior, but they can't help themselves. They are compelled to do it. It's a demon driving them, and they need set free. And we're the ones to help. We're the ones that have the power through Jesus to help them. Bipolar disorder. Now, I know a lot. That's a touchy one for a lot of people because, well, yeah, but if you just take your medicine, it's okay. You can take medicine, and it can help. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe the medicine just does something that makes things a little uncomfortable for the demonic influence to operate that keeps people level. But many, many, many people who deal with bipolar disorder, when they're feeling good on their meds, I don't need meds. I feel fine. So they go off their meds. If they weren't being messed with in their mind, they would know the reason they're feeling good is because they're on their meds. You know, that's just logical, but logic doesn't work. It's because there's something else behind that. Now, there's lots of other things that that's going on in today's world, but many times, and probably most of the time, there are demons behind this stuff. Now, just some things from the scriptures that I just wanted to mention. Out of 1 Samuel 16, it tells about Saul, that there was a distressing spirit that would come on him. And that's real. It was, if you look up the word, it's a spirit of grief that would come on him. And if you remember, David would come, and David was anointed and was a worshiper of God, and he would come and play his harp, and the anointing of God would come, and that nasty old grief spirit would just lift off. It'd just drive it away. But we have a lot of people that moody. You know, they're just moody. They just get down for a while. Well, it's a distressing spirit. It's a devil messing with them, and they need set free by the power of God. Job's situation, we're studying him on Wednesday night. Look at all that happened to him. He lost his kids. He had tragedy come and destroy his goods. He got boils all over his body. I mean, all this stuff. And it tells us right from the very get-go, that was the devil doing that stuff. This wasn't just accidental things. It was the devil messing with him. Now, I realize that's a particular situation that was going on there, and God was making a point that, you know, it doesn't matter what you do to this man. He's going to stay true to me. But the point is that it was demonic activity that brought that stuff into being. He didn't just have some kind of a virus or bacteria that caused him to have boils. That just happened. It's the devil. In Luke 13:11, Jesus healed someone of a spirit of infirmity. I believe it was the woman. Said, this daughter of Abraham, she's got a spirit of infirmity. She's all bent over. You know, we just look, oh, she's got osteoporosis. You know? But we think that way. When you get old, these things just happen to you, you know, and stuff happens. So it's just aging. But it might not be aging. It might not be that at all. It can be something else. In Matthew 17:15, there was the young man that had convulsions and it would throw him into the fire. I mean, when that happens, seizures, a lot of people deal with those kinds of things, some big, some small. But it was a devil because the disciples hadn't got things straightened out yet and had a little trouble with that one, and Jesus had to come cast that one out for him. But he got rid of a spirit and the kid was okay. It just instantly changed things. Jesus healed someone, cast out a deaf and dumb spirit where they couldn't hear and speak. And he got, just instantly, they're healed. Instantly, because it was a devil. So if you can't seem to get free, or if you know people that can't seem to get free, by simple standing on the word, it might be a devil. It might be a demon that's causing the problem. And we've got to deal with it. We cannot just ignore this verse and go, these signs will follow those who believe. They'll speak with new tongues. Because the rest of it, we'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Those are okay. Both of those are okay. But we really don't want to have to cast out devils, and we don't want to have to take up any serpents or drink deadly stuff. But Jesus said this stuff's going to follow us. So if we're going to be like Jesus wants us to be, then we've got to start dealing with this. Now, I got a question for you. How many of you have ever cast out a demon? Isn't it just one of the most satisfying things you've ever done? It is a wonderful thing. And I want to encourage you, if you've never had that opportunity, well, I just believe there could be an opportunity if you'd want one. And I believe you ought to want one. But it is the most satisfying, thrilling thing to take authority over a devil and cast him out and watch somebody just like that change, just in a heartbeat, to just turn around. Whatever it was, just lift off of them, and all of a sudden their mind's clear and they can think, or whatever was happening in their body just stops. You know, I mean, it is just so exciting to see that. And I know Jesus says, now don't get too hyped up about that. Just be glad your name's written in heaven. But we can still be excited to do the work of God. It's a good thing. So I just want to encourage you, get involved in casting out devils. You don't need to go out and look for them. But if you'll be willing and open to the possibility that there might be one to deal with, you'll get the opportunity. And then you'll get to cast it out. And a lot of times, it is not this horrible thing like you've seen in The Exorcist, you know. We should have never watched that movie when it was on when we were young, but, you know, that was what we did back then, you know. But there may be times when things are a little extreme, but most of the time, you can take authority over devils and just set people free. And you don't have to scream, you don't have to yell, you don't have to choke them, or, you know, you don't have to go through that stuff. You can just cast them out because you've got the authority of the name of Jesus and set them free. But we've got to be open to the idea that that's what it is. Because, see, some of it is, first of all, as Christians, we don't want to deal with the fact that we could have a demon. You know? Because how can a Christian have it? You're not possessed. You're oppressed. People need to be set free from oppression. If you are a born-again Christian, you don't have a demon living in your spirit. You're not possessed by the devil. You're not going to go to hell when you die. You know, you belong to Jesus, but there's oppression. There's something that's not right. So we need to be open to the idea that maybe that's what it is. And I've had a lot of experiences in dealing with these kind of things over the last 3 years at least in a bigger way. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of devils out there messing with people's lives that just look like normal irritations, you know? They don't have to be big, ugly things where somebody's frothing at the mouth and, you know, all this kind of, but we think that. We think that people that dealing with a demon are just kind of crazed wackos. Well, there might be a crazed wacko out there that needs delivered, but a lot of times it is stuff that just irritates you to no end. There's something about that person that just really irritates me, and you just don't even want to be near them. A lot of times it's just a devil. And sometimes it may not even be that they are, quote, caught in a place where there's a stronghold in their life. It's one just hangs around them. Just hangs around them and influences them. But that irritation, that's the devil. And a lot of times we just get aggravated at the person and just, you know, want to heck with you. I don't want to mess with you. And it's a devil. And we've got to begin to learn to deal with that. And sometimes you take authority over it, and it's not that you have to, quote, cast it out of the person. You just got to take authority over it yourself and quit letting it bother you and get that influence away from them. So I want to look at just a few things now of what opens the door for this to be a possibility of how demons can begin to come in and actually get a stronghold and become an influence in people. Let's go to Deuteronomy 5:9. We probably ought to look at this. You say, well, this is Old Testament. Yeah, I know, but it's the truth. It's just the way it is. This is in the midst of the Ten Commandments. God gives us some information. Deuteronomy 5:9 says, you shall not... He's saying about not making any carved images and stuff. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. There are situations where you could have in your ancestral past people that have been involved in ungodly things, you know, all kinds of stuff. And the sin that they have committed, being involved in ungodly things, it says here that is visited to the children, to the third and the fourth generation. So you could have had something happen back, you know, quite a few generations. And if it doesn't stop, say you could go back like 10 generations. So that means 9, 8, and 7 all could have the effects of this problem. Well, if 9 doesn't change, then that means 8, 7, and 6 can have the problems. You see what I'm doing with the generation? So you could have stuff that's way back in the bloodline where there might have been some awful things going on in the family line, and it opened the door for demons to have access into the family. And then that follows all the way through the line. And it's through no fault of your own. It's not because you've done anything to open the door. It's just there and needs to be dealt with. And even though you get born again and you can belong to Jesus and you'll go to heaven when you die and all that, but you can still be struggling with an area in your life that just is a burden and a bondage. There can be something going wrong that just doesn't seem to go away. You just can't seem to get free from it. You love God, you're born again, you're serving Him to the best of your ability, but there's this nagging problem that you just can't get rid of. It could be something that has traveled through the family line because of continued sin. Now, I might touch on that in a little bit later. Another thing that opens the door is out of John 13 and Luke 22. I'm not going to read them because it's about Judas. And it was talking about, Judas was going to the priests because he just, he didn't like what was going on with Jesus, and he just didn't want to deal with that. So he went to the priests because the priests want to know, man, we need to get him out of the way because Jesus is just, he's drawing all these people to him and causing a problem. Well, Judas cooperated with that. He went to the priests, and they said, if you can find a way that we could get him away from the crowds and everything so that we could catch him, well, we'll pay you for that. Well, Judas meditated on that stuff, planned that stuff. He was also a thief. He had activity going on that he was against God. He was doing things, and the scripture specifically says on the night of the Passover, there's a couple different places as to actually when it took place, but the devil entered into him. When one place it talks about how when Jesus hands him the bread, because Jesus is saying, the one that I hand the bread to is going to betray me. And it's like, I don't know whether they got that or not, but then he handed it to him. I mean, and they're obviously they're not really realizing what's happening. But he hands it to Judas, and the scripture says, and immediately the devil entered him, and then he and Jesus said, what you've got to do, go do, and sent him off. In another place, it's not quite exactly in that particular order the way it's shared, but it says the devil entered him, and then he went, and then he went and betrayed Jesus. So if people are involved in planning evil things and scheming evil things and just continue to work that way and just keep leaning that way, I know it was already known in advance, but I believe Judas could have stopped it if he'd have really wanted to when Jesus handed him that bread and said, go do what you've got to do. He could have said right then, I can't do this. It's wrong. I can't do this. I can't go do it. And he could have avoided his fate. He could have avoided being destroyed forever. But being involved in stuff like that, planning and just constant evil, always working with that, can open the door and you don't know when that's going to happen. He's just doing what he's doing. He's just got his ideas that, he's going to help the priests out to get Jesus because, he's not really in favor of what Jesus is doing anyway. He's just kind of doing his own thing. He didn't know that all of a sudden, boom, the devil's going to enter him and just take over. You don't know when that's going to happen. People don't know when that's going to happen. That's why we should live holy. We don't, that's why we should never give a place to the devil because he may not take that first thing. He may not take the second thing. He may not take the 10th thing. He might wait till like the 25th and then, okay, I'm ready. And just move in because we're not doing things right. So, and I know, I'm not saying that of like us, but we don't want to think that we could never be tempted. In Romans 6, it talks about continual sin. When you are just continually sinning a particular sin, you could be opening a door. It's just not a good thing. Let's go to Matthew 18. This is one when I read this in my research and things here a while back that just really shocked me. You know, we read scriptures and they say stuff and we hear the words, but sometimes they just don't click. Verses 34 and 35. This is Jesus is talking about forgiveness, and he was telling about the servant and the master that had to settle accounts and forgiving the one and not forgiving the guy that was under him and all these kind of things. And then, let's start in 33. He said, "Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass." If we don't forgive, we are opening ourselves up to be tormented. And we just look at it as, well, but I just can't forgive them. They hurt me. You know, we have all these reasons. But yet, this says this can happen to us if we won't forgive, and if we're just stubborn about it and just don't want to release someone from a sin, you are opening yourself up to be tormented. And it could be the kind of torment where nobody knows it's going on but you. It's not obvious to anybody else, but you lay there at night and you can't sleep because you're being tormented. You can't stay still, or you don't ever want to be alone, because when you get alone and quiet, it starts. And it just starts eating in your brain. It's torment. So unforgiveness can be a place where the enemy could get in. Anger, bitterness, and hatred, out of Ephesians 4. Just bitterness especially. I mean, when you don't forgive and then you hold that and you get a root of bitterness in there, oh man, that is an opportunity for the enemy to just take a hold of that and just mess up your life. Now, here's one that you don't really think of, but you can see it happen in situations, is trauma, whether emotional or physical. Sometimes the death of someone extremely close to you can be such a traumatic event that it can open, because if you don't handle it properly, if you don't handle it the way you should in the Spirit of God, you can leave a gap in your emotions and in your soul that the enemy can get a foothold in. Or if there's been just physical trauma. Childhood abuse. People who have been abused as children. Many times there's demonic strongholds that they grow up with because of that abuse that they need to be set free from. And then they never get really free. You know, we think sometimes that some awful things that can happen to you, well, you'll just never forget that. You know, it'll just never, you'll always live with that. Not with Jesus. You don't have to always live with it. I mean, you might bear a scar in your body or something that might kind of be there, but you don't have to live with that in your soul all the rest of your life. You don't have to live with that ache and that pain and that unforgiveness and that hurt and that fear. You don't have to live with all those things all your life. Jesus can set you free from all, heal you of all that. But a lot of times, you know, those are wounds that come in. Sexual impurity. Promiscuous sex, man, if people are out there doing that, you are opening yourself up for who knows what. I mean, we know it opens you up for disease, but it also opens you up to demonic influences because it's just not pure, it's not godly. Occult practices, that's one that, you know, simple things from childhood a lot of times that could be a problem, like Ouija boards and seances and tarot card readings and, you know, all that kind of stuff. If you've really just messed with that, I mean, I'm not saying if you just did it one time that it could happen. You might have done it 10 times and nothing ever happened. But you don't know. You don't know how many times is safe before it causes a problem. That's the thing. We don't know how many times. So, you know, occult practices, a lot of people get involved in stuff like that. Blasphemy, just, you know, you don't want to be hollering out things against God and thinking against God too terribly long, because the devil loves that kind of stuff. I can use this one. This would be a good place for me to set up camp, you know. Evil cursed objects. Sometimes there are things that are cursed because they have been involved in occult practices or something, or there are just items that demons hang with because they come out of demon practice stuff, you know, and they can just be affected and be an open door. Drugs. We know illegal drugs, especially, you know, of hallucinogenic things and stuff, but even legal drugs can be a problem. If you take a lot of narcotics, when you take those drugs, they mess up your soul. They dull your soul and your thinking, and they can open up the opportunity. I'm not saying if you've ever had a narcotic, you got a demon. I want to be clear. Don't take it that way. But they can be a problem. If you just eating narcotics all the time, you know, it can be a problem because it opens your soul. You're no longer in control of your faculties. And that's the danger. Even this is another strange one, but I can see how it applies. If you have had a lot of surgeries where you have been under anesthesia, because anesthesia is another one of those things. It knocks out your consciousness. You don't have any control during that time. And if you have had a lot of them, it could be an opening. And like I say, you know, don't be afraid if you've ever had a surgery and been put to sleep or, you know, got dental work done or something. You know, don't be afraid of this. These are just areas that maybe you'll be ministering to someone, maybe someone in your family, or maybe a friend, or someone that you know, and you're getting the opportunity to just minister to them. There's possible that these things might be in their background that could have opened the door that has brought in a demon to cause them problems and to just deal with it. So, you know, like I say, don't take this as, well, anybody that's ever had that done's all got a demon. No. But because there are so, and this is not a complete list. There's lots of other things, but these are sort of the main ones of stuff that you could probably be acquainted with. But we've got to be open to the idea that demons do these things. Because a lot of times we just don't want to deal with the fact that it could be a demon. And it's because we're afraid. More than anything, it's because we're afraid. We don't believe that we have the power over them. That's why I say, oh, if you've ever taken authority over a demon and watched it just have to break free, oh, it's such a wonderful, and you know it's not you. You know it's God, and it's just, you just want, oh, God, you're just so good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's just such a great, you just want to worship God and praise Him because He's just so good. You know it's His power and His name and His authority. You're just the vessel, and it's just like, oh, wow, this is just so cool. God, you're just so good, you know. And to see a person set free, it's such a great thing. So just a few little things here yet. So what if we do if the mountain doesn't seem to move? I mean, sometimes your mountain may not move just because you've just not got your faith settled yet. You know, we're still growing in an area of faith. You know, we just haven't got it settled inside of us that this promise is true. I don't care what I feel like, what it looks like, what anybody says. The promise is true. That's just the way it is. And I will go to my grave believing this promise is true, whether I see the manifestation or not, because the promise is true. We're convinced. But if we're not quite convinced, well, then the mountain's not going to move. You got to be convinced. But so, you know, just because the mountain doesn't move doesn't mean there's a devil behind it. But if you know, if you're convinced and it still seems like something's not working right, just consider the possibility. Ask God to show you. You know, ask God. You don't need to go around guessing, well, gee, could it be this kind of demon or this kind of demon or maybe that? You don't have to do that. Just let God show you. He will. He's faithful. We got to own up to, we got to wake up. Arise, shine. We got to wake up. And that's the call that's going out in the body. Got to wake up. We got to wake up because we are in a war and there are things to do and we've got to start taking authority in our territories, in our lives, in our homes. We got to start setting things right. And part of this setting things right is we got to take authority over the demons because Jesus said that he is going to wait until his enemies are made his footstool. That means we, because we're his body, we have got to have the devil under our feet. So we're going to have to be dealing with these things and taking authority over them and keeping them subdued and keeping them pushed back and not let them have place and do that work so that Jesus can come. So we got to own up to the battle. We got to be willing to own up to it. We got to not stick our head in the sand. Sometimes it's just like, I just don't want to deal with this. I know what you're saying, but I just don't want to deal with it. We get that way sometimes, and that's not good practice for anything, let alone devils, but it's not good practice. We can't stick our head in the sand. Don't be afraid. There's like 365 fear nots in the Bible. That's one for every day. So Jesus always telling us, don't be afraid. This is Jesus doing this. This is Jesus' name, his authority working through it. It's Jesus that'll do it. We just have to obey. We just have to do what Jesus said. And he'll make it work. Praise God. So we don't want to be afraid. We need to remember out of Philippians. Let's go to Philippians 2. We'll just look at this. That's not right. Or is it? No, that's not right. It's not Philippians. Well, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, I didn't get something right, but this is true scripture. I can't recall it right at the moment, but there is a scripture that says that every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means every devil has to bow. He has to bow to the name of Jesus, to the lordship of Jesus. He has to. And we need, Philippians. Well, I looked at that. Well, it was supposed to be in italics. The other scripture that I looked at was in italics. Okay, thank you. I did have it right. Beginning in verse 9, therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. The name of Jesus, this is an authority thing. And one of the things that I read this year that just really blessed me was when you're dealing with demons, it is not a struggle of power. It is a struggle. It's about the authority of the word. And a lot of times we approach it from a power thing and we don't feel like we have power. We feel weak or helpless. And we look at it as a power thing. Well, but what if the devil does something to overpower me? It's not about power. It's about authority. It's about the word. It's about the authority of the name of Jesus. And that's just a good thing to remember. You know, you don't need to get in a power fight over the devil because you don't have power anyway. It's only the power of Jesus. But it's the authority of the name. So praise God. That knee has to bow. And again, back to Mark 16. If there is a devil, cast it out. Because Jesus said that's the first thing on the list that we got to do if we're going to be believers. That's stuff we're going to be involved in. So if there is a devil, you got to cast it out. You got to be willing to fight. You got to be willing. Like I say, if you're not willing, I suppose it's possible it could be revealed to you that there is a devil, but if you're not willing, I'm sure you're probably not going to cast it out. You know, because you got to be willing. You got to be willing to be used that way. You got to be willing and available. There's a lot of things that we know. It's like the same, we'll just use it this way. It's the same thing as the gifts of the Spirit. They're given as the Spirit wills, but if you are not willing and available, it's not going to happen through you. And that is not the proper behavior. It is not okay to not be willing. You've got to be willing. And it's not okay to not be willing to cast out devils. Now, it's not, you know, it's not a salvation issue, but we don't want to be that way. Whatever Jesus says, that these are going to follow us, these signs are going to follow us, well, then we need to be willing for them to follow us and be willing to participate. Remember out of Romans 8:37 that we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. 2 Corinthians 2:14 that Jesus always leads us in triumph. Always leads us in victory. Always leads us. And one other thing, if you're not having success and you need help, well, then get you some other warriors. Get somebody else that can get together and help you. Or maybe it's a situation where it's just more than you can deal with yourself at the moment. Then get somebody to do it for you. If you can't deal with it yourself, get someone else to help. Because praise God, we're here for one another. Amen? Amen. But we've got to know the tactics of the enemy. And some of that, I mean, a lot of that's basically going to come from reading the Scriptures and seeing how he operated there. It's going to come from listening to the Spirit of God and the revelation of the Spirit of God as he shows you situations. Because sometimes it may just come as a revelation of, you know, there is a spirit behind this particular behavior that you need to deal with. And it's not always the sickness and disease stuff either. It's behavioral things. One of them is manipulation and control. I mean, probably all of us at one time or another has done something that what you could consider a little bit manipulative, you know, where we want it our way, so we kind of just phrase things in a way to get our way. Well, that's wrong, and that's sin, but there are people that they are driven by a controlling, manipulative spirit, and they're always trying to make things happen the way they want them to happen so they can have comfort and order for themselves. And it's a spiritual thing. But that's, you know, that's one of those things. It's just a behavioral thing. A lot of times just this anger can be a spirit. Someone can just have a spirit of anger that has got a stronghold in them, and they just blow up all the time. They just have outbursts all the time, and you just never know what they're going to do because they just seem to fly off the handle so easy. Well, there might be a spirit behind that. And a lot of times you can bind that in your prayer life and cast that out of them and take authority over that, and they don't even have to know what happened. They just wake up one day and things are better. You know? You don't even have to, you know, it's not like you have to get face to face with the person. You know, you can do these things in prayer sometimes too, just, you know, from a distance. But 2 Corinthians 2:11, the scripture just says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We don't want to be ignorant of what he can do. And we don't want to be ignorant of the fact that sometimes there can be devils behind stuff. We don't want to be ignorant of that, because if we're ignorant of it, we can't help them. We can't help the people get free. And if we're going to help them, then we got to know that that can be a possibility, and we got to know that we can take care of it and how to deal with it so that they can be free. Now, just a couple other things. Let's go to, let's try Mark chapter 3. I certainly have not listed a list of Satan's devices as such as to how he works, but this is just kind of an interesting. Mark chapter 3, verse 11. Jesus was healing a lot of people, and some of them that he healed unclean spirits were involved. It says, and the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. Now, I use this scripture that don't be fooled by the right words. There are times when a devil can be operating in someone and they're saying right-sounding words. One of the things, that just a really big example that always sticks out to us, is back when we were at Danville and we were having prayer meetings, there was some man that came one night to the prayer meeting, and he was prophesying. And it was all scripture. There wasn't anything being said that was wrong as far as the Word of God. You know, everything was scriptural things, but there was something not right. And I don't know whether it was just Gordon or one other person agreed on that, took authority over that, and that guy all of a sudden just stopped and just like he didn't know what was going on. But he was under the control and influence of a devil at a prayer meeting prophesying. But if we're dumb about these things, we hear scriptures, oh, well, it was God. Or, you know, a lot of times, well, but God told me. Not necessarily, you know. It can be a devil, but that was just an example of how sometimes the devils will say right words. Remember the girl that was had a spirit of divination in her, and she was following Paul around, and whenever he'd preach, you know, oh, this man's from the Most High God. He's got the words of salvation. Oh, listen to him. It was a devil. We'd look at it as it's just some wacko fanatic Christian. But it was a devil doing that stuff. So we gotta be smart, and we gotta have spiritual discernment. And you get that by staying in the Word and in fellowship with God on those kind of things. But sometimes it will look right. And another thing that just came back to my remembrance, because this came up a couple weeks ago in a situation. There's a lot of practices going on now that are, some of them are referred to as homeopathic. I mean, things like acupuncture and all this kind of stuff. Now, if I'm just telling you this, don't hate the messenger or whatever, if you've been involved in any of this stuff or whatever. But a lot of that stuff is not good. And I understand that there's good things that happened, but there was a situation, someone told me about this, was on TV, about you can get a facelift now with acupuncture, and they stick all these needles in you and everything, and it tweaks the nerves or whatever, you know, and it causes your face to, I guess, lift and tighten or whatever it's supposed to do. But the person that was doing it, and I mean, it looked all nice and scientific, yes, and medical. They lay them on a, you know, a nice table, and it looks all proper and everything. But the person that was doing it made the comment that they're merely using the energy that's already there. You got to watch. There's words like that you've got to be careful about things. There are occultic practices that are being glossed over and filtered into the medical realm. I mean, it is just rampant. It's rampant in our hospitals and communities here, going on of just strange things. And there's demonic work behind it. And just be cautious about stuff like that. I like having a nice massage as good as the next person, but you got to be careful who you go to, because some of these people are into weird spiritual stuff. There's times when there's even products in stores that in the places where they're made in manufacturing, there are curses and incantations being spoken over things to go out to whoever would buy them. And now we don't need to be afraid of that stuff. We just need to be sensitive. You know, because there's not going to be a sign on this was made by devil worshipers or anything, you know. I mean, you know, there's not going to be anything like that. But just be sensitive. You know, just be careful when you've just got to have that. There's this strange attraction maybe, you know. Just be aware, because there's just a lot of things out there. And there is so much now in the schools, and it's getting clear down into little bitty kids. They are teaching them how to meditate, how to find spirit guides, all that. They are teaching little bitty kids this stuff. I mean, down into like kindergarten age. This is demon stuff. And it's rampant. And there are people throughout the whole world that are dealing with this stuff. And they open themselves up to it. And the point I wanted to make, the scripture that came up to me one day is lying signs and wonders. Now, whenever I would read that scripture before about lying signs and wonders, I would always think of just, you know, oh, some strange, unusual happening, you know, or when people see blood seeping out of a wall or a tree or something, you know, those kind of things that you hear about around the world. I always thought of those kind of things, sort of. But I believe, this is just my personal belief, that there are things that will look like healing, and it's a lying sign and wonder. It's devils doing it. And the people may be innocent that have, you know, used that method or whatever. They just want to get well. I mean, you know, it's not through any necessarily wrong motive. They just look at it as this is just a way we can get help. But it opens the door. And what it is it makes you dependent towards something other than God. It starts drawing you from God to these other things. And it can open the door for trouble. So just be aware of those things. Ephesians chapter 6 is about the armor of God. We're all familiar with that. Keep your armor on. Just know who you are in God. Keep that in place. You don't have to put it on every day. It should just you should live with it on. But just know who you are in God. Know these things. Know that you have righteousness. Know your faith. Know, keep your head protected with salvation. You know these things. Be prepared with the gospel, all those things. Keep the word wrapped around you. Just keep that on. Now, if any of these situations would ever be you, and there's anything that needs to be repented of, maybe there you've been involved in something that wasn't right, repent, and then you can be set free from that. Another thing is if you've had things where possibly there's something that just has followed in your family. One of the common ones you hear about is heart disease and cancer. You know, they say, well, oh, his dad died of that, and his uncle died of that, and his grandfather died. You know, a lot of times it's not so much a genetic weakness as it's probably a spirit that has got a foothold somewhere back in the ancestral line and just keeps affecting people, or that they always die young, you know, that those kind of things. And if there's stuff like that in your past, renounce it. Just renounce it. Just like we can pray on behalf of our nation and ask God to forgive our nation for the abortions and the things that go on in behalf of our nation, we can ask God, just renounce that, and Father, break that in the name of Jesus. All that curse that has been coming this way because of what they did, I break that. I plead the blood of Jesus over that. I stop that here. I don't want that passing on anymore. No more. I'm not passing those kind of things on. That we can just renounce those things. So I know this was a little bit of an unusual message, but it was an informational thing just to stir you up to be aware. And actually to stir you up to be ready. Yeah. To be ready. Because as we begin to get people in, as people start coming in, folks, they're going to have devils, some of them. And they're going to need set free. And you can't always wait for the pastor to do it on Sunday morning when they come forward at the altar call. There's going to be times when you're just talking to them somewhere, and you're going to get the opportunity. But we got to be ready, because as people come in, we got to do the stuff. We got to be prepared to set them free and minister to them, make them disciples, and help with all that stuff. So did you get anything out of that? Okay, well, praise God. Praise God. I just want to remind you again, don't be in condemnation over any of this. Don't get in fear over any of this, because this is who Jesus made us to be. He's made us to be in charge of the devils. He's made us to take authority. And those all that third of those angels that fell with the devil when he rebelled in heaven, a lot of them are down here just messing up people's lives, just causing trouble. And we're here to set things straight. And they're not going to be allowed to cause problems in people's lives that we're affecting with and we're associated with. Amen? Let's pray. Well, Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your word. We thank you for this information that you instruct us and you open our eyes. Father, I just pray that for all of us, we would become more aware of these things, because it's everywhere. It's all over our TVs and in our magazines and newspapers, and it's just all around us. But help us to be aware of these things so that we can avoid those things that we need to avoid, so that we can help people that need to be directed away from those things. But most of all, Father, help us to just stay strong in you and to just be faithful in your word and in fellowship with you, so that we have the answer. That we don't just have the, well, that's wrong part of it, but we have the what's right. We have the answer for them. We have the power of the name of Jesus. We can set them free, and that we can be like Jesus said, that we'll be the ones that will cast out the devils, and we'll speak with new tongues, and we'll take up serpents. We'll deal with those devils. We'll just deal with whatever we have to deal with. And we'd take in something deadly, it won't hurt us, because we're walking in your power. We're walking in your power. And we're going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We're going to be your hands, your feet, your mouth, your arm. We're going to be the body of Christ and take authority and rule and reign and establish the kingdom of God here until it gets to the place where the Father is satisfied and he says, okay, go get him, and then we can come be with you. And we just thank you and we praise you for these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.